Can you hear me now? To some people, it might look strange, and it might look weird, and it might look odd. But do you know that God is the one that created all the things? And even if it looks weird or odd, that doesn't mean that it's not of God. And people waving banners, some people come and they might think, that's a little weird. Are you sure that this isn't just like some weird cult or something? And, you know, the devil sees what works and he tries to imitate it. He tries to imitate what works, but he is a pale imitation to the vibrant colors that is in the Lord. And so when we're waving banners and we're praising and we're praying in tongues and we're praying and laying hands on people, on the sick, on the injured, on the broken, not weird. It's God. When the regulations came down from the government that said, you can come to church, but don't touch one another, I thought, oh, they must not know my God. They must not know my God. Because my God heals. My God heals. It says in the Word to lay your hands on the sick and they will be healed. They must not know my God. And this morning while we were singing and we were praying, or I was praying in the back while we were singing, and that just the thought came back to me. He heals and he must not know my God. And then it just grieved my heart so bad. He must not know my God. He must not know my God. How horrible. My heart breaks for those that don't know him, because my God is such a good God. He must not know my God. Do you know that the best time to talk to someone about Jesus and about your God is anytime? It doesn't have to be on someone's deathbed. If they don't know your God, they're lost. Wouldn't it be so great if you helped them get found? Talk to somebody today. Talk to somebody today. Don't wait. Don't wait. If the Lord is putting someone on your heart, don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Because you never know. You never know. They may not have tomorrow. Can you think of someone that doesn't know your God? He's such a good God. He's such a good God. Over and over and over and over and over again, he's provided. He has healed. He sent his one and only son. His one and only son to die for us. I have a hard time letting my kids go across the street, because I'm concerned for their safety. But he sent his son to die. He knew what his fate was. And he did it for us. He must not know my God. Because my God heals. My God forgives. My God redeems. My God makes whole. My God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being my God. Thank you for accepting me as one of your own children, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know if you guys could hear that on the recording, but that was so precious. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's read our verse. Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. Thank you, Father. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you, and He will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with Him in whatever you do, and He will lead you wherever you go. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Dear Lord, we worship you. We honor you, Lord. We thank you for coming into this place. We thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your spirit in this place. We thank you for willing hearts in this place, Father. We thank you that you will open every ear to hear what you have to hear for them to hear today, Lord, and open their hearts to receive, Father. Lord, we pray over the offering that you would bless it and multiply it and that it would be used to your good purpose, Father. We thank you for your provision, not just for this church, but for the people in this church. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I just have one quick announcement, and then Janine was going to come up and have an announcement as well. But there, in the back, there is, in the way back, out in the fellowship hall, there is a table set up with some different things that are not necessarily for sale, but for donation. The youth group is just trying to raise some funds, so that way, when some more restrictions are lifted, we can go do some fun things. This summer, the church was able to get a van for the youth group, but now we need to be able to go do fun things in the van for the youth group. So we just have some things out, so if you want to peruse and grab something, that would be great. We'll have that set up in the back every time. It's no pressure. Did you have something you wanted? In the back, there's two donation boxes. The white one is just regular Sunday morning offering, if you so choose to do that. It's back there. There's also a pastor appreciation. It's the metallic one. Normally, we try to be a little sneaky about it, but October is pastor appreciation month, and we try to bless pastor every October. This year, because of COVID, we just kind of threw out all of the sneakiness and put a bucket in the back. So if you'd like to bless them, please go ahead and do so. And then Janine, do you want to come up and... And after Janine's done, the kids can head on out. And youth group, too.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. God is in the house, isn't he? Hallelujah. That's something we can always count on everywhere we go. Whenever we go together, we can count on God being in the house. And that's an awesome, awesome thing. Well, praise the Lord. I just want to let everybody know the Christmas dinner is in the works. It's being planned. It's going to be in December. It's going to be at 5 o'clock the 13th, December 13th, 5 o'clock here in the dining area. We're asking for donations. There's going to be a sign-up sheet if people would start signing up. Bring your families. This is a really good time to bring your family that maybe doesn't go to church to get to know some people, to get in on a little unexpected move of the Lord, to get to be in an atmosphere that's a little bit more relaxed maybe, you know. So bring your families. Talk to them. Bring them. Invite them. Don't miss out on this opportunity to fellowship. One of the most important things in my years of ministry down in Mexico, one of the most important things that I realized was fellowship. It's fellowship because love really is birthed and grown in fellowship. It's really easy to come to church every week and hug everybody's neck and say how much you love them. But then when the trials come, really easy to stop loving, really easy to let him go. And that's not the love of Christ. That's not how Christ loves us. But when you fellowship and you get to know someone's heart, when you get to know who they are in their deepest places, and you get to know what their dreams are, you begin to overlook the million things that bother you. Because the word says love covers a multitude of sin. But that's only going to happen when you get to know them. It's only going to happen when you spend time in fellowship. Don't miss this marvelous opportunity to fellowship with your brothers and sisters, to fellowship with your family, and enjoy yourselves and have a moment of getting to know each other. We're going to need volunteers for cleanup, kitchen work, setup, tablecloths, entertainment, anything like that. If we're going to have a sign-up list. If you'd like to help with those areas, everybody choose an area. choose somewhere and choose to help serve. You know, one of the greatest things that I have found that brings me joy is serving. Serving others blesses me. It will bless you too. It's a wonderful thing to do. So sign up. Don't miss the sign-up sheet. The menu's still in the works, but it's looking like it's going to be fabulous. We're going to have a baked potato par. We're going to have Caesar salad. We're going to have broccoli salad. And we're asking if everybody would bring a dessert and a little hors d'oeuvre plate. What I would like to have is that on every table, we'll have, you know, tables set up on every table. There'll just be a little mixed hors d'oeuvre tray for everybody to sit and snack on while you're visiting, while we're waiting for the program, or while we're waiting for dinner, whatever's going to take place. So think about it. Think about what you'd like to bring. Sign up on the sign-up list. If you have any more questions, just get a hold of me, Donnie, or Pastor Bruce. And they'll probably point you back to me. But get a hold of any of us, and we'll see what we can do to help you. God bless you guys, and have a great day.
Hallelujah. Yes. Come on, God is good. Now, we're going to try, and not try, we will be as COVID-friendly as we can be for the dinner. We're going to, you know, go through all the protocols, put tables around, only, you know, certain amount of people around the table, and, you know, all of the things, the best that we can do. But then we're going to trust Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, God is good. I said, God is good. Hallelujah. Can y'all hear me all right?
Amen.
Everybody okay? What's that? You want me a little higher? A little louder? All right. Hang on. Glory, glory, glory. Is that better? Okay. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. I was going to speak on something else and had something else planned, and the Holy Spirit told me no. So we're going to go back to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to talk a little bit more about hope. But while you're turning there, it just during worship and I need you to know, and I need you to understand that God is with you. That God is for you. And something about hope, one of the definition of hope, of Bible hope, is a confident expectation. A confident expectation. And we talked that hope is on three legs. It's on the vision or the plan, you know, what you've got purpose in your heart. And then it's the plan on how to carry that out. And then it's your will to do the plan. In other words, how determined are you? How much do you want God to move in your life? But as I was thinking, I was praying and you know, in worship this morning, how many believe that God is powerful? How many believe that God is with you? How many believe that God will do something supernatural in your life when you speak for Him?
Yes.
Had an incident this week where a man that I know and care a great deal about, it was like he was raised in an environment. But anyway, it was like he didn't want to really acknowledge Jesus. There was something about that that he didn't want to do. And I'm thinking to myself, dear Lord. But as we're worshiping, I say, well, are we speaking in the power of God? Do we believe that when we speak over Him or share with whoever it is that God's power will show up to, you know, it's not my convincing ability to give an answer to somebody about who God is. I can't explain God to you. Right? I can't show somebody and say, look, you need to, here's my arguments for God. I mean, there's a place for that. But the reality is that people need to know Him in the Spirit. Paul said it this way, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. But I came to you with the simplicity of the gospel. And in that gospel, there's the power of God unto salvation. When we speak for God, we need to believe that God is with us and that He will demonstrate Himself and back up your words. Well, let me say that again. When we're speaking for God and we're asking God and we've prayed and we're ministering in His name, we have to have an expectation that God is going to back up what we're saying. Come on, right? Because we're saying it for Him. Right? If He leads you to pray for somebody that needs healing, you've got to expect that He's going to back it up and His power will be available to you when you're, come on, laying hands on that person, talking to that person. So when you're witnessing, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." We've talked about the fact that the hope is our foundation for faith. In other words, there's a confident expectation that what God has said, what He's promised, is available to us, and we've got a path to get there. Faith is that we believe it and that we're going to walk in it, right? We're going to walk in it. But today I want to talk to you a little bit about what might be hindering even your hope. How many want to be more hopeful? Right? How many want to have more hope in your life? Aren't you tired of posting on Facebook how terrible things are? Really? Or how bad people have let you down? If I'm stepping on your toes, it's okay. Look at all that stuff is what it's really saying is I've got my eyes more on what man has done to me rather than what God has done for me. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But glory to God. Let's keep on reading. It says, "For by it, by faith that's built on hope, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so the things which were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks." I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 4. We're going to look at a couple of these. We're going to be flipping back and forth, so you might want to hold your place in Hebrews chapter 11. But go to Genesis chapter 4. It's interesting as I was studying out this and talking to the Lord about it, there's some interesting points here that I think are pretty incredible. The Word of God is alive, isn't it? What does that mean? That means it's not like any other book. You read a normal book and you go, "Well, I've read that." But you read the Bible, and then you read it again, and then you read it again, and you read it again, and you read it again, and read it for the 100th time, you read it for the 1,000th time, and you go, "Wow, I never saw that before." Why? Because there's so much in it. Come on. Jesus is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Come on. If you want to know Jesus, you got to get into His Word. And you've got to believe that He's going to speak to you through it. Chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "And now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord." Listen to that, very important. "Then she bore again, and at this time his brother was Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord." Now, that seems pretty good, doesn't it? Brought an offering. That's pretty cool. Now, watch this. "And Abel brought also the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire for you, but you should rule over it." I just want to point out a couple of things here. It's interesting that these are sons of Adam. And so they grew up with Adam, right? Isn't it interesting? How many know that when Adam blew it, right, and sin came in and he was kicked out of the garden, and we think, well, you know, when before that, God walked with him in the middle of it, God talked with him, came down, had fellowship with him. I think it's interesting because in this, it kind of points out that God didn't stop talking with him.
Right.
His son knew God speaking. He was used to hearing from God. So the one who blew it, God came to and talked to, and it wasn't something out of the ordinary. It wasn't, oh my God, God speaking. It was an expectation that he had because he lived it all his life. Very, very interesting. And God talked to the one who didn't have the right offering. But let's go talk about the offering for just a minute. Remember back in Hebrews, it says that Abel, by faith, gave a better offering. Gave an offering, I like this, one that God respected, or one that God accepted. Don't you want your offering to be accepted?
Yes.
Well, you have to give it by faith, but I think there's some things here and reading in this story that can indicate to us why our hope in God is not producing the things that it should be producing. See, here's the good news. If you eliminate those, then your hope's going to be more active. You'll become more hopeful. Hope will spring eternal, if you will. Now watch this. It said in verse 3, "In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought forth an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering." Isn't it interesting? Because it really doesn't talk about it necessarily in Genesis, but evidently God had spoken to them that they needed to bring offerings. Right? Somewhere in Adam coming, and remember that when Adam fell, the first offering was God's offering of killing the sheep and stuff so that they could be clothed, right? But there was an offering started, or the system of bringing offering started with his dad. And so both sons were carrying on the same tradition. Cool, right? But go back to verse 3. It says, "In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord." Now, if you know the story, Cain was one that's what he did. He grew. He was a farmer. Abel was a rancher. Bah, right? Abel was a rancher. But this is, so what he brought to him was what he produced. Well, that seems good. But here's what's underlined in the story. Cain didn't bring the first fruit. He just brought fruit. So it wasn't brought in faith, because if he had faith, he'd have brought the best. Why? Because he knows the best is blessed if God is receiving it. Right? So sometimes when we bring our offering, even our prayer life, our reading, we don't bring our best, we just bring what we determined to do. I don't know about you, but when I was going through school, I was a pretty good student, but I was a lazy student. I'll just tell you this, all the way through high school, and I, you know, went 3 years of high school, right? I didn't ever, one time, bring a book home from school to study. Not one. Not one. I had a B average, but I didn't produce my best because I could slide by less. No, that's one thing to do in a normal, natural situation, but if we want to be hopeful people and want that hopeful person thing and our faith to grow to a level, we've got to start beginning to become people who give our best. In other words, I'm not giving God my leftovers. What do I mean by that? Well, God, I've been pretty busy today. And so I'm going to say about a 30-second prayer before I go to bed and hope you receive that. And God is actually saying, well, you know, I enjoy our time together, but it would be much better and I'd respect it much greater if you gave me first dibs on you. First dibs on you. Now, everybody's different and everybody has different prayer times. But I think there's something about getting up early and saying, God, before anything else, I'm going to put you first. Yes. Amen. I'm going to put you first. And all of us have different... I heard this one pastor, he said, my wife and I, we don't pray together because we're two different people. I like to pray when I first get up. She doesn't want to talk to anybody until she's had 10 cups of coffee or whatever, right? Just different people. But it's the heart that I'm talking about, not the form that I'm talking about. If we're living a life, watch, we can't be full of the hope of the promise of God if we're not sowing the seed of our first fruit. Of our best. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody while they're listening on their iPhone or they're got their headphones on? And you talk to them a couple of times and then finally they go, you're talking real loud and they go, what? I was listening to you. Yes, but I didn't have your full attention. So you missed some of the detail in what was being said. See, these two brothers had heard from God. They'd heard from their dad on how to bring an offering. But someone missed the detail. So we don't want to hinder our hope. We don't want to hinder our faith. So it's like, Lord, I'm not coming from a standpoint of condemnation, but Lord, if I haven't given you the respect, the honor that you deserve, forgive me. And I'm going to change that because I want my relationship with you to be right. How many know that you have a witness that is more than just the words that you speak? Right? And even years ago, Donnie, that she was a young teenager, maybe not even a teenager at the point, and she was over at somebody's house from the church, and they started kind of grilling her on what I was like at home. And now... had I known that, I might have done something about that. I didn't hear about that till later. But it's kind of like, first of all, don't do that to my daughter. But on the second, don't put her under that pressure, right? But on the other hand, she could answer. Always the same way he always is. Not perfect by any means, but he's consistent. Right? So what am I saying? I'm saying that our witness the person that I was talking to you about earlier comes from a religious home, but didn't want to make Jesus the Lord of his life. I think because, I'm not putting any type of judgment, but I think because oftentimes we have a religion, but we don't have a relationship. You see, holiness is important, isn't it? Holiness is important, but the holiness that's self-imposed and regulated from the standpoint of I'm going to judge you on your holiness is out of a religion. The holiness that comes with relationship because you spend time with the Holy One is out of relationship. But the religion will turn off people from the relationship. Why am I saying all that? I'm saying that because in Cain and Abel's story, Cain had a relationship with God, but there was something lacking. Abel had a relationship with God, but there was nothing lacking. Why? Because Abel was able to give the first fruit, the best. And so in us, Lord, what are we doing? What are we doing? Now go back to this and watch this. Verse 6 says, and the Lord said to Cain, listen, Cain's got some guts here, right? Because he came, well, God, I gave an offering just like my brother and you didn't accept it like his. I'm not sure I'd talk to God that way, right? But he had such a normal, natural relationship with him, he felt like he could talk to God like he did you or me. On some levels, I think that's pretty cool. But watch this, because this is how God responded to him. It says, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. What's he saying? He's saying, it's not my problem and it's not your brother's problem. It's your problem. It's your problem. What should Cain have done at this point right here? Absolutely repentance, said, Lord, I see it, I see it, I see it, I see it. Sometimes we aren't able to relate our relationship with God and have it grow to the next level through faith and hope because we are not honest with ourselves and we don't respond to what God is saying. I don't think that we should come to church and repent every Sunday from the standpoint of, you know, just squall and bawl and all of that. But we should, when the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us and brings something to our heart that isn't right, we should be quick to repent and quick to change rather than do the things that absolutely keep us from that. Once you justify yourself, then you came out of the justification of the Lord. In other words, well, God, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but it's not my fault. It's that woman that you gave me, right? Or it's if they wouldn't have done this, how many have ever thought this or said this? Well, if you wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't have done that. You've just walked away from the opportunity for God to change your heart. Come on. Because really, this is between you and God. It's not between you and God and the other person. God wants a relationship with you one-on-one. Cool. That's so awesome. God wants to walk with me. God wants to talk with me. I'm telling you, that's the greatest thing that there is. God, you'll speak to me. It's what got me saved. It's what got me saved. God would talk to me. So look at verse 8. So now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field. So God talked to Cain, and then Cain went and talked to Abel. Can you imagine how that conversation went? And Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. He was mad because, watch this, Abel was receiving the reward of his hope. He had a testimony of what God was doing in his life, and it bothered his brother. God loves you, and God doesn't love me. Right? And it got to the point. Now, we're good Christians living in America. We would never do this, where somebody has a great testimony and you were believing God for something and it didn't happen for you, and so I'm going to kill that sucker. Right? But yet, in our hearts, we talk about them. Hello? We start to say things and we start to justify in our minds and go, well, why does God love them and doesn't love me? And that steals the hope that God wants to put inside of you. Are you listening to me? It's like when we look at our relationship with God through what God is doing in or through somebody else, we absolutely kill the hope that God has for us or wants to build up in us. God wants you hopeful every day. Listen, I want you to wake up tomorrow with a little bit more pep in your step than you had maybe today getting ready for church. Why? Because I believe that when I call on the name of the Lord, He hears me. He has a purpose for me. He has a plan for me. He has a destiny for me. And it doesn't matter what somebody else has done to me or what God has done with somebody else. It's me and Him that's at stake here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So watch this. If you don't come to God with the correct attitude, it will kill your faith, which is based on the hope. Glory to God. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll look at another one here. Verse 7. Remember this guy. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith. Now go to Genesis chapter 6. You all know the story. And just imagine this. God comes and tells you to do something. Now, one of the best narrations of this story I've ever heard was Bill Cosby. Years ago now. I know Bill Cosby has fallen and all that stuff. But on his record, he said, God, you want me to build what? Right? A boat? What's a boat? Right? Because it's going to rain? God, what's rain? None of that had happened before. And watch this. Noah was isolated living in the midst of the world. What do I mean? I mean that he had a relationship with God even though none of his peers did. He had a relationship with God. He had a communication with God that was available to all people, but only he partook of it. Watch this now. Verse 8, it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Genesis 6:8. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." How many know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Then you found grace, didn't you? Because it's by grace that we're saved through our faith, right? Glory to God. So you found faith, grace. And that grace, come on, is still working on the inside of you if you'll let it work. Are you listening to me? Grace is God working with you. But in that position, God wants to speak to you. Now, verse 9 says, this is a genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. If you want your hope to be at the level that produces and will fulfill God's promises for your life, you've got to walk with Him. Again, it goes back to the first priority, but it also goes back to, are you really in a relationship with God? How many have a friend that you talk to and you can talk about anything with them? Yeah. Right? Or maybe a friend that you haven't seen for a long time, but you get back together and it's like you've never parted. It's because there's a connection there that goes through relationship. God wants you and me to have that kind of relationship. What does that mean? When he talks, I hear. But knowing also that when I talk, he hears. Jerry's not here, and he's in Texas and living. But one of the things that impressed upon me, Jerry, I just love this testimony. He said, it came to a relationship in my walk with the Lord where my prayer life became conversational.
Amen.
Conversational. What does that mean? You talk, I listen. I talk, you listen. And we go back and forth. Right? Is that possible?
Yes.
It's absolutely possible, but you have to be in a place where you're hearing and you're walking with God. So if you're not on a consistent basis talking with Him throughout your day, listening to what He says through His Word, then you're not in a position to hear what He's saying all the time. But we can.
Right.
Woo! Glory to God. Yeah. We can. And the more that you're sure that you're hearing from Him, you're sure that the Spirit of God is speaking to you, the more that God will be operational in your life, the more testimonies you'll have.
Yeah.
Right? Because God does and He will speak to you. Glory to God. Verse 10 says, "And Noah begot sons, and Shem and Ham and Japheth. And the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all the flesh corrupted the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of flesh has come before me, and the earth is filled with the violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them in the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood." Make the rooms in the ark. And he goes through on how he's supposed to build the boat. Right? But here's the deal. Are you obedient to what God says to you in the midst of a generation who's not? I mean, we live in a... I've never seen it this crazy. But if you put something on Facebook that somebody disagrees with, there's all kinds of hate that's going on, right? But is that going to make you back off of standing for what God says. It can't. It can't. Why? Because you won't be able to build a safe place outside of walking in His place. Right? And so we can't, we have to be obedient to what God has said, no matter what everyone else is saying. Right? The minute that we compromise what we know to be true, we absolutely hinder our faith and the hope that it's built on. Mm-mm-mm. God, I'm trusting You. I'm walking with You. I'm believing You. Lord, if You said it, I believe it. If You said it, I believe it. And if I believe it, it's going to cause me to act a certain way. If I believe something, watch this, I'm going to do something. Let me say that again. If I believe something, it's going to cause me an action to do. Noah believed God, and so he built the boat. Right? If God is speaking to you to do something, are you waiting on Him to get it done, or are you moving in that direction? Amen? We have to be at the place where we're allowing God to use us. So, again, hope, and when we're talking about hope, and we'll close in just a minute, but when we're talking about hope, we're talking about God, give me a vision. And He has given us a vision right here. Do you know that? He's spoken you a personal word, and it's right here. So when He speaks to you and you're going through something and He says, "Fear not, for I am with thee," that's a vision. Right? And the path towards seeing that, even as you're going through it, is, Lord, I have to keep my eyes on You. And what happens at that point? Well, sometimes all hell breaks loose. And you're operating with a bunch of people who don't know God, and they're not walking with God, and they're going to try to have you walk in a different direction. But you've got to come back and say, no, no, I am going to keep my eyes on Jesus, and I'm going to walk with Him as I go this way. Right? Jesus, You're my Lord. You're my Savior. If You said it, I believe it. There's a song out. It's called Man of His Word. I don't know if you've heard it. Incredible song. But it's, if He said it, I believe it. And if I believe it, then it's going to change my whole thing. Right? Because that's faith in action. That's faith working itself out. So what did Noah do? He heard from God, and in spite of every other voice that was around him, he did what God called him to do. If you're going to listen to other voices and let them talk you out of what God has said, then you cannot walk in the faith that God has for you. Come on, you just can't do it. Now, I think Christian counsel is good, and I think, you know, some. But if you've really heard from God, then who are you going to please? Are you going to please yourself? Are you going to please others? Or are you going to please God? Right? Because really, if you please God, then you'll be the best for yourself and you'll be the best for others. But if you compromise, then you can't stand out. You can't build an ark where people can come. Are you with me? Come on. I love that. It's really interesting. And we're not going to go there, but remember the story of Enoch. Enoch was Adam's great, 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 great grandson. But did you know that Adam was still alive when Enoch was here? So Enoch saw how his great, 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 great grandfather walked with God. And so Enoch got a clue on how to walk with God. And he was in such a relationship with God, the Bible says that God just took him. In other words, he was there one day and he's gone. Where'd he go? God took him. God took him. We can learn from others in their walk with God, but we can't rely on their testimony. We have to have our own. We have to have our own walk with God. You have to be real with God because God will be real with you. Amen? So, here's the deal. We want more hope. Well, God, if there's anything hindering my hope, if I'm not obedient to you, if I'm not walking the way that you want me to do, if I haven't given you my best, then today, Lord, I just want to change all that. Lord, if I've listened to other voices, if I put anybody's voice and opinion over yours, forgive me for that, because God, I want to walk with you. I want my hope and my faith and my confidence to be fully developed in you. Father, we thank you today for the service. We thank you for moving in our midst. Lord, we thank you that the Bible says that Jesus is our hope. What does that mean? That Jesus paid the price for our sins, that when we stand in him, our sins are removed, they're forgiven. And what's so cool is that his holiness, his righteousness, his ability to stand before God becomes ours. So if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I would ask you to do that right now. Just open your heart up to him and say, Jesus, I want a real relationship with you today. I want to know you. If that's you today, just give your heart to him. Maybe you're here and even in you know, the church here today and you say, I have had a relationship with God, but I haven't kept him in his proper position. God's speaking to me today about renewing myself and putting him first place and getting outside, getting back to where I once was, where Jesus is my Lord, first and foremost. If that's you, either by the internet or here, right now, just ask him, just talk to him. Just talk to him and say, Jesus, here I am. Forgive my disobedience. Forgive my pride. Forgive whatever it is. I come to you fresh and new. Receive me now. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen.